Lord, I ask that you would be with Shannon this morning as she gives your word. Thank you for imparting the truth of who she is in her body, in her mind and soul. Thank you that we have the opportunity to sit underneath her. And I ask you, Holy Spirit, to reign here in Camrose Community Church from now on. Amen.
If you're not awake, you are now. I sent my word to heal your disease. I am the Lord, your healer. I am the God that healeth thee. I am the Lord, your healer. I sent my word to heal your disease. I am the Lord, your healer. Now let's affirm it. You are the God who heals me. You are the God, my healer. You sent your word and healed my disease. You are the Lord, my healer. He sent Jesus. He is the word. I sent my word to heal your disease. It is a done deal. And as Betty has shared so marvelously with us this morning, it is done and it is finished. It is up to us to receive. And I want to tell you that Paul talks about it, that there's the flesh that battles this. Our flesh and our thinking battle it. But he's won the battle. Amen? The battle is ours. The victory is ours in Jesus. Oh, victory in Jesus. We sang it first thing this morning. And I want you to know I'm not even close to starting my message. We are the victorious. We aren't going to become the victorious. We are. In Christ alone. Man, I love the songs Betty chose this morning. Again, we've been talking about the last little while. Our worship leaders are... And all that's going on just seems to be in tune with the Spirit and what's going on. How many of you are feeling victorious this morning? A few of us. But if you're not, it's okay if you don't feel that way. That's still who you are. How many of you are feeling whole and healed and complete? Whether you feel it or not, you are. And if you're going to keep looking at the circumstances, you're going to find yourself always viewing that. And you're going to miss the blessing that we have in Jesus. Now maybe I should get to my message so you can go home for lunch later. Last week we looked at, by one man's obedience, we were made righteous. By the obedience of Jesus, we were made unrighteous by the disobedience of one man, Adam, the first Adam, but the second Adam, Jesus, made us righteous. There was nothing that you exactly did to become unrighteous, except born in the line of Adam, flesh and blood, but Jesus. Amen. By the blood of Jesus, you've been born again by his obedience, and there's nothing you can do to change his obedience. So I asked last week, oh, wait a minute, you know what? I do want to say this. You're righteous because of nothing you did. How many of you are happy about that? It's not about me. See, if it's something I did to make myself righteous, then there's something I can do to make myself unrighteous. So I'm glad it's not about me anymore. Now, here's my question that I didn't want to miss. How many of you would be happy to do a little happy dance about that? Oh, I didn't. I only saw one hand go up. There's two, three, four, five. Okay, guys, let's get up. Oh, I know we creak and we crackle and whatever, but let's do a little happy dance because we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, right? Let your body know that. Amen. You can sit down. Whether you can stand or not, you can wave your hands around. We're just rejoicing always in what he's done. And so I ask, what is your source of hope? Is your source of hope still stuck on what God will do for you? I will be hopeful when I am healed. I will be hopeful when all my bills are paid. I will be hopeful when my relationship with this person, that person, my children, my spouse, if it's in a good place. If your hope is stuck there, guess what? You're stuck there. But if your hope is in Jesus, if your hope is in the one who did it all for you, I'll tell you what, you'll find you get unstuck. Your focus is on him instead of your circumstances and situations. I love what Betty shared at the end there, Betty, because here's what I have. My encouragement for you, my challenge for you, I don't want to say command because I don't have that kind of, well, maybe I do, but I don't want to. My challenge to influence you in this is this. Throughout, as we move throughout 2026, let us encourage one another to keep our focus on Jesus, on the finished work of Jesus, on him, and not allow the enemy or our circumstances, our fears and our worries, to put our focus back here on ourselves. These things that come into our life, they get us, the enemy wants to get us to look away from Jesus. They want to get us to look away from Jesus, who was truth, who is truth and grace. And when grace and truth, Jesus says he's full of grace and truth, he came with grace and truth, touches a person's life, touches a person, life and healing comes to them. Now we'll put up this page here. Grace and truth is up close and personal. We remember that Moses gave the law, but Jesus came with grace and truth, dwelt among us. Well, as we move from grace and truth, we're today talking about Jesus, our good shepherd. He's not just the good shepherd. He's the good shepherd. And sometimes, especially if we've been believers a long time and we've heard these stories and we've read these scriptures and we look at them, sometimes we can become a little desensitized. But today I hope we just take a little detour in the way we view and see things that will just, the Spirit will just waken us up afresh in this. Let's go here. Yep. John 10, verses 1 to 18, we're going to take a look at this. Let me just give you a little prelude. Jesus healed a man that was blind from birth, and it ticked the Pharisees off. I'm sorry, I don't know, I don't understand that, but it did. But I mean, they were blind. But anyhow, so they challenged his parents, the blind man's parents, and they challenged the blind man himself. And eventually, and they kicked the blind man out of the synagogue. They kicked him out. He got healed and they kicked him out. How dare you? And out he went, and Jesus found him and said, "Listen, heard what happened." And he talked to this blind man, and as he's talking, he says, "You know, I'm coming to judge that those that are say they see are blind, and those who are blind shall see." And guess who's listening? The Pharisees. And they get into a conversation with Jesus. Because they feel insulted, because he's sort of in his statement said that they were blind because they claim to see. Jesus goes on to explain, anyone who doesn't enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by other ways, is a thief and a robber. Okay, so he's talking to who? The Pharisees. He's saying, look at, if anybody who climbs in over the side of the fence into the pen is a thief and a robber. Now, I want you to think about this. There's a pen, there's a gate that opens, and there's fencing around it that a thief or robber comes over. Which takes more energy, to climb over the fence or to walk through the gate? So if we climb over that fence, right? So when we think about that, how much effort and energy, self, it takes to get up over that fence. And who did the Pharisees, what do they bring? They bring the law. And Jesus is saying, look at your law-bringing ideas, that climbing up over the fence, if you just do the right things to get over. And Jesus is saying, you're a thief and a robber. That's the way the thief and the robber does it. It's about self-effort, about trying to keep the law. But anyone who enters the gate, by the gate, is the shepherd of the sheep. How is Jesus coming? Through the gate. And then he says this. I'll put this up here. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name. I love this picture. And he leads them out. And when he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize the stranger's voice. Now, Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. What had he kind of accused them of before? Being. And then he explains it to them, and they say, we don't get it because they're blind. Why are they blind? Because they're not choosing to see what he is saying. They're not choosing to hear the word of God who is standing in flesh and blood in front of them. They're still relying on their self-effort and their own understanding of the law. And then with a little bit of pride, because we're a Pharisee, don't you know? Who are you to tell us? We are the teachers of the law. You bet you are. And Jesus is bringing truth and grace. And again, we recognize that he is challenging the Pharisees and Pharisaical thinking. But he says this, my sheep. How many of you remember the song? I just want to be a sheep. Ba, 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 ba. I just want to be a sheep. Ba, ba, ba. Like, I get your tail going. Ba, 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 right? We are his sheep of his pasture. And we hear his voice. Well, let's go on to verse 7 here. I think that's okay, we'll just. Before Jesus, therefore Jesus said again. Who's he speaking to? Pharisees, very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep don't listen to them. I am the gate, and whoever enters through me will be saved. You know, I had to sit in a group of pastors one time, and someone spoke that just, it made me, wowzer, heavy word, that made me cringe. Because they said, I think I can get this, maybe not. I'll bring it to Don. Okay. Sure. There we go. Anyhow, in this meeting, someone spoke up and said, well, we should invite all of these different religions into our pastoral meeting because all lead to God. I cringed. It made my heart ache because it came through somebody on a denomination that I thought knew better. And I recognized they was not so. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father except through me. Be on guard, saints. The lie is out there. You know, what I am grateful for, though, is that Jesus will go down a path and bring them the truth. But he won't leave them there and say that is the truth, because it's not. Therefore, Jesus said again, I tell you the truth. I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate, and whoever enters through me will be saved. Don't we love that word, saved? Here it is, that word, sozo. Kept safe and sound to rescue from danger or destruction, saved a suffering one. An example, one who is suffering from disease, to make them well, to heal, to restore to health. We've just heard it already this morning. Jesus is the good, and he is the gate in which we go through. And if we go through the gate, through Jesus, we shall be saved, kept safe and sound, rescued from danger and destruction, safe and save a suffering one. He comes and has set us free from disease. He's made us well. He's healed us. He's restored us to health. We just got to catch up with that. Get a hold of that. Jesus said, I'm going away. And Thomas said, Lord, we don't know where you're going. You know what Jesus said? You know the way. I'm the way. Have you been with me so long that you don't see that? Sometimes we're like that. We're the Thomas or the Philip. I can't remember. I think it's Thomas and one and Philip and another, but it doesn't matter. We kind of get in a place where it says, we don't know where you're going and what you're doing, Jesus. And he says, trust me, I am the way. And so when we look at our sickness and disease and healing and whatever's going on in our life, we're looking in the wrong place. Not saying we deny it or don't say it's there, but we need to look at him. I'm the way out of this. I'm the way into what you desire. I am the way. Look to me, Jesus. Full of grace and truth. I'm the gate. And then he goes on to say, They will come in and go out and find pasture. I decided to take a look at pasture. How many of you like the idea of green meadows? Lovely grasses. Okay, well, listen to what this word means. He shall not want the needed supplies for true life. You're led out into a place where there is no want because all is supplied for whatever you need for true life. He leads you out right into it. And it's okay that it looks like green pastures if that's what we visualize. Munchy, if you're a sheep, lovely munchy grasses. I like that idea of little munchy munchies. Sheep munching away. So he saves us. He keeps us safe and sound. He rescues us from danger and destruction. He rescues suffering ones. And he leads us out into the place where all we need is supplied for true life. Does that sound like a good shepherd? He is our good shepherd. And then Jesus goes on to say this. Oh, they cut, Pastor, sorry. Oh, there's the picture. Beautiful little lamb getting refreshed by Jesus. Doreen and her sharing her her testimony this morning talked about Psalm 23, he leadeth me by the still waters. Verse 10, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. Let's stop there for a minute. This thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I want to tell you that the thief is the enemy. The thief is religious thinking. The thief is those who still try to become righteous under the law. The thief is anything that steals, kills, and destroys. And do you want to hang out with the thieves? So then it says, I have come, Jesus says, I have come that they may have life, that Zoe life, the same life that I possess, I've come to give to you, and that you may have life more abundantly. Oh, Lord, I'm just content with my little shack and my little bit of this. And my part of me says, okay, if that's where you want to be. But Jesus says, I come to give you life. More abundantly, and it's not always about more stuff. I'm going to give you that. But I think sometimes we have little thinking. And we do a little bit of bartering with God. Lord, if you'll just get me through this. Or, Lord, I'll do this if you do that. Or, Lord, I know I haven't been praying enough. Or I haven't been. And we believe it's something about our self-efforts that's limiting him. But it's not our self-effort that's limiting him. It's our belief that's limiting him. And see, some of our things that we have written on our hearts are not in line with what Jesus has said. It's not in line with the word of God. It's not in line with the living word Jesus. It's not in line with truth and grace who dwells among us. It's in line with worldly thinking, and we've couched it in spirituality. But Jesus said, I have come to give you life. And so where does our focus go again? Jesus, who come to give us life. And yes, he did give us the Holy Spirit, who reminds us of all that Jesus said. May we never lose our first love for him. Verse 11. Oops, we've got this here. Sorry, I'm a little behind. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. But the hired man is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. And when the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. You see, sometimes things happen. How many of you have ever seen church split, people, you know, disintegrate, it blows apart, it blows away? Can I tell you something? I'm a hired man, hired woman. You can call me the shepherd of the flock, but he's the shepherd of the flock. In other words, what I'm saying is I could fail you. But if your focus is on the good shepherd, if your relationship is with the good shepherd, nothing can scatter you. Oop, that's my buzzer. I'm only on page one. It's okay. Don't worry about it. I only have six more to go. I'm kidding. I am the good shepherd. Yeah. So I want you to see that there are things that come, and that as our relationship, as our focus stays with Jesus, with him and what he's done for us, what the Father has done for us, the fact that because Jesus died, rose again, and went, and he said, listen, and went to Christ, he said, I have to do this in order that the Father may send who? The Comforter, the Holy Spirit, the one who dwells with us, who empowers us. You see, the problem with the hired hand is they look at the job description and they see the wolf coming and go, that's not in my job description. I'm out of here. Ever met people like that? That's not in my job description. I don't have to do that. I've worked with a few people like that in my past. Don't ask me to do any more than, and yet Jesus said, do everything unto the Lord. How much more would you do for the Lord? I am the good shepherd. The shepherd lays down his life for his sheep, and we recognize that this morning as we took communion. We're going to take a little detour here and look at a good shepherd. His name was David. How many of you remembered before he was a king and before he was in the king's musician, he was just a little shepherd guy. And in 1 Samuel 17, verses 34 to 36, let me set it up for you. David is standing before King Saul out on the battlefield. He's brought his brothers some groceries. They've kind of mocked him, and he's listened to what's going on, and Goliath is out there, and you get the whole picture. And then he's in before King Saul because he's going to take this guy down. He's going to take this young teen is going to take this guy down. And David says to Saul, your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it. I struck it and rescued the sheep from its mouth. And when it turned on me, I seized it by its hair and struck it down and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. David's pretty confident in God. And then he says, and that uncircumcised Philistine? It's kind of like, what's that to a lion and a bear? That uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them. Because, here's why, because he has defied the armies of the living God. The good shepherd took out the lion and took out the bear, took out the giant. I want to tell you, the good shepherd has killed the lion and the bear and the giants for you. It's a done deal. Now, when we look at David, we understand David is kind of a type and a shadow of Jesus. Again, David is not Jesus. He was not Messiah. He was not perfect. But we see him as the shepherd. And don't kid yourself, Jesus is talking about a shepherd because he knows these Pharisees and the people listening understand David's 23rd Psalm. Understands David's story. And Jesus is saying, I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. We'll just back up a bit. Just as the Father knows me, I know him, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this pen. Hello, Gentiles. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice. They shall be one flock. There will no longer be Jew or Gentile. We're one flock, and we have one shepherd, and his name is? The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. Who is he speaking to? The Pharisees. He's told them something is about to happen. I'm going to lay down my life only to pick it up again. Did they get it? Did they hear it? Or did they see it? Are they still blind? No one takes it from me. What have the Pharisees been doing, and what are they about to do? Conspire to take his life. But he says, yeah, it's already been planned out. But I lay down my life of my own accord. He's the good shepherd. He saw you, he saw me, and he said, I will lay my life down for them. I love them that much. And the Father loved him for that. I have the authority to lay it down and the authority to take it up. This command I received from my Father. You have the authority to lay it down and to pick it up. Now, we have already talked about the 23rd Psalm. And we see the Good Shepherd. And we looked at David, the defender of the sheep. And we see the refresher, the one who brings righteousness, the one who walks with us, the one who has the big stick to whack the head of something that's trying to attack us. And the provision and the pasture that he calls us out into. And then there's another little thing that Jesus does is he shares a parable. In fact, he shares three parables. And this is in Luke. Three parables. One is the parable of the lost sheep. The next is the lost coin, and the other one is the lost son, or we say the prodigal son. And all of them direct the attention to the mercy of God and repentance. And God has this desire to see all the lost saved. And so Jesus uses these things to illustrate the Father's love and mercy and true repentance and what it looks like. Now, most of us are familiar with the story of the lost sheep, where one of the sheep goes missing out of the 100, and Jesus teaches that the good shepherd leaves the 99 and goes and looks for that lost sheep. And when he finds him, he puts him on his shoulders, and he comes back. Oh, good grief, this is the most exhausting day of my life. What does he come back? Do you realize that's how Jesus felt about you when you gave your heart to the Lord? He put you up on his shoulders and he came back rejoicing. How many of us have ever wandered off since becoming a believer? Part of that sheep, but we wandered off. Guess what Jesus does? He goes after you. He leaves the 99 who don't need to repent and goes after the one who's wandered off. And he doesn't just stand. He searches, he seeks out, he looks. Now, we know that God knows where you are, but he knows also how to get you. But he does go after you. And the good shepherd, what did he do? He found the sheep. He didn't stop until he found the sheep. And the good shepherd took it and put it on his shoulders. And how were his shoulders? How weak? Sorry, Betty. I looked at you when I said that. I know she has a wound. Had a wound. But he has big, strong shoulders. Puts the sheep on. Carries them home. The good shepherd comes home rejoicing. And then he does something incredible. He says, let's have a party. Look who I found. Woo! Let's do this. That's how the kingdom feels about you and me when we come home. Let's celebrate. Now, don't forget I was saying that Jesus, and this is also teaching about repentance. Now, when Jesus is teaching, shares these three parables, do you know where he's sitting? He's sitting at a table with tax collectors and sinners and some Pharisees. And they're Pharisees. He starts telling this story because the Pharisees are murmuring. Look who Jesus is sitting with. He's sitting with the tax collectors and the sinners. Doesn't he know? Because they know better. They're blind. And so Jesus is telling this story to two people, the sinners and the tax collectors and the Pharisees. As a sinner, as a tax collector, well, I don't know, as a sinner, how many of you love the story of the Good Shepherd? How many of you are thankful? He went after you. He sought you out. And when he found you, he picked you up and carried you in his strength back, celebrating and rejoicing over you, over me, imagine. But what do you think was in the Pharisees' hearts hearing that? A religious heart that keeps trying to do things in their own strength can't receive. And Jesus is talking about repentance. He didn't talk about all the evil and the bad things the sheep had done. It just wandered off. He came back and said, no, it's been found. And it says, all of the kingdom rejoices when one repents and comes back. So what about repentance where the good shepherd is concerned? How does a sheep, ba ba ba? Repent. It's about yielding and surrendering. Think about this. There's this sheep out there, wandered off, probably a little tired, a little lost, because sheep like flocks, by the way. That's their nature. They like to be together. And here comes the shepherd. What does the sheep have to do to let himself be saved? He has to, first of all, stop wandering. Stop struggling against the shepherd. Trust the shepherd and allow the shepherd to pick him up and carry him. Oh, Peter says to Jesus, don't wash my feet. Jesus says, unless I know that may be a stretch for some of us to talking about Jesus washing the feet. But Jesus was putting point a principle. Let me do for you. Let me pick you up and carry you. And when we will let that happen. So let's see. Okay, this is the Good Shepherd. Sorry, I forgot this. I should have done this as we get to the next slide. We have to consent to being saved. We have to let it happen. We have to desire that. We have to change our mind about where we are, what we're thinking, what we're doing, and let the shepherd save us. We have to consent to letting him love us. That's sometimes hard for us because we don't love ourselves. But Jesus said, but I've changed you. I've made you something new. You are very lovable. And I loved you before you made any of those changes. Before any of those changes, not you made, I made, any of those changes came. And then you have to be consent to be carried in his arms of strength. When I am weak, he is. Let him carry you. Let him carry you. When you consent to being embraced by my strong love, you will be made well, healed, restored, and healthy. He's already done this for you, but you have to consent to it. Let it happen. Embrace what he's done. And again, our flesh fights against it, but don't let your flesh win. Let Jesus win. Repentance is when you consent and allow me to do whatever needs to be done. Jesus is our good shepherd. The goodness of him is so good. Let it be your reality. Amen? Why don't you stand with me? I'm sorry I'm a few minutes longer. I hope you're not starving to death. Ah, Father, 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 we thank you that you sent your word. Jesus, that you are the living word of God, full of grace and truth, that you are our good shepherd, that you have defeated the enemy on our behalf, that you care for us, that you carry us, that you love us, that you rejoice over us, that you celebrate us. And Lord, as we even took communion this morning, celebrating what you did for us, we want to put our focus back on you. It's all about you and what you have done. Thank you, our dear, dear Savior, our wonderful shepherd. We hear your voice. We hear you calling our name, and we're running to you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Yes, yes, yes.